Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this special episode of Marriage Transformation Heroes. Jack Houghton is our latest marriage transformation hero from Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Living in Southeast Queensland, Australia, Jack is married 2 years with his beloved Queen, and they have a beautiful 20-month-old daughter together. His hobbies include football, motorbikes, going to the gym and video games, as well as spending time with his family. In the last decade of his life, Jack spent a lot of time in the party scene DJing, but has since settled down to begin his life as a heroic husband and fearless father. He's taking precious time out from his intense academic studies as an apprentice refrigeration technician to be with us today. Jack, brother, it's an honor and a privilege to get to have this conversation with you today, man. Welcome on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark. It's an honor to be here.
I'm gonna, like, the elephant in the room here is, like, the guys don't know listening in, but yourself and myself, we were rolling in the dojo there last week. I was giving you full flame about the, just to bring romance in the intensity of this period you're going through. But hey, man, I was laughing in preparation today, coming on the call with you. I was laughing at the total fucking hypocrisy of me, Jack, giving you shit to go, hey man, like, where's the voice messages? Like, and you in the middle of 6 weeks of super intense academic stuff. I lead my humbling reflection this morning, Jack, was where my nervous system was at when I was doing academic studies last. Like, no queen. No kids, no full-time job, no nothing, like no house, no mortgage, nothing of it. And I still was overwhelmed. I want to lead with that because that's part of this game, being a heroic husband. It's like incessantly planting seeds of progress and presence, never expecting perfection. But where are you at, man, with these studies, and how has the last week been? Like, taking extreme ownership in the middle of that. It's some game that we play.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely been probably one of the harder times of my life. I've been over a decade out of school and studies and things. I left school, went straight into work full time, and I have been for 12, 13 years now, and being thrown back into 5 straight weeks of exams and practical exams and all day coming home and having a wife and a child to care for and look after is that's definitely been a challenge. And the biggest practice has been not letting what's going on for me internally, my own stresses that I'm taking from that day-to-day study, and bringing that home and projecting that onto my family. It's been a hard challenge. And without the group, I wouldn't know how to deal with that, if that makes sense. Had I not been part of the group, it certainly would have made this last 5 weeks an absolute disaster. It really would have. But the practices that we've been doing have given me the tools to deal with my internal struggles in a healthy way. There's still some things that I can do better, like the flame you gave to me last Friday about just reaching out more, the voicemails, all that kind of thing. And yeah, it could be a lot better, but it could have been a whole lot worse.
And take us in there, Jack, because I've invited you on because the transformation has been so night and day. I only bring on the guys, and there's so many of you coming through. I think you're number 10 out of a movement of now that's 35 guys signed up. But it's night and day. The Jack that came on the first application call with me, and your transformation, like week on, every single week, there's some new element. But how would the Jack of 12 months ago, before coming to this work, before having that high flame accountability from a bunch of brothers playing the same game, how would he have unconsciously navigated such a period?
Well, for me to come home from a day like I've been having for the past 5 weeks, my queen would have met a person coming home being completely shut off. No effort to communicate, to express in a healthy way why I'm stressed. Or what's stressing me out, and those feelings would build up to a point where it would come out in anger, not anger, probably aggression. It would end up in very, very poor communication. I would hide behind grumpiness. I would just be grumpy all the time, and none of it's her fault, but it would be projected onto her and taken like it was her fault, and I would probably get triggered that she's getting angry at me for me being stressed, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't know how to deal with it healthily, or communicate to her what's going on inside of me, to give her the ability to comfort me.
Yeah, I when I look back on my first 12 years of marriage, and I lead with you, and I keep leading this in the podcast and in Heroic Husbands Men circles. I still screw up in this. Still do. It's the practice of self-mastery. So, but yeah, the level of grief that I had looking back, Jack, when I realized that grumpiness. It's like I now call that like my queen would say, hey, you're just in your dad's mode. this emotional set point of grumpy husband, grumpy family man. No reason
Oh,
ever
yeah.
expressed, but it's like I unconsciously took on this emotional signature of this is where I'm at. This is like I'm putting on the t-shirt. Grumpy fucking asshole mode. That's my default. And I felt entitled to fucking do that and to wear that t-shirt unwittingly, but it's like I look back and it's like, wow. Do you get that sort of a link? I saw you nodding there when I made that link with my dad. Do you get that link within yourself of it's like subconsciously we end up playing a role. It's like, and we don't even know. We don't even know where our bubbliness went, where the smiley, funny ass, wild man went from early relationship. Speak to us like where you see that pattern in your own life.
Well, like I love my father. He's a wonderful man, but it saddens me that I have clear memories of, him coming home from his stressful job grumpy. I feel like he spent a lot of his life grumpy. And the only time we spent with him was the couple of hours in the nighttime after he'd come home from work before we went to bed, and a lot of the time there would be, stress and the grumpiness about him. And I can look at it and go, shit, I'm doing the exact same thing unconsciously than what my dad, I'm in the same shoes as what my dad was all those years ago. So I get it, but it's also like now I can feel this after being part of the men's circle, having these tools, like I can feel this and I can do something with it. I can understand it and deal with it healthily instead of it projecting out to my family. I can not just internalize it, but express it to my wife, like, hey, baby, today's been really tough. I'm feeling stressed. This has happened at work, or this has happened at college, and I'm just not dealing with it very well. And she gets that, whereas, I come home, I say nothing, I'm just fucking moody and whatever. She has no idea, thinks she's done something wrong, and you know, she might give me that feedback, that fiery feedback, you know, oh, you know, how come you haven't been talking to me? And then that would trigger me, you know, I'd be like, oh, well, fuck, I'm just feeling like this and yada yada. Whereas I've developed the ability to communicate it first before she comes to me and triggers me while I'm in that moment. So I dig it out of myself before it becomes a real problem, like it used to. Yeah.
What are you meaning in your own words about projecting? You've potently used the word, oh, I don't want to be projecting that onto my queen or onto my family. For guys listening in, what's that in your layman's terms? What are you meaning about stopping projecting what's happening inside of yourself?
Yeah, I suppose when I say projecting, I'm talking about you know, feeling like I should be sharing, you know, what I'm feeling. They should know what I'm feeling. They should feel what I'm feeling too. Like an entitlement sort of thing. You know, if I have to feel this shit, maybe you have to feel this shit too. So I'm putting that stress onto my wife and my daughter, you know, and I know I don't want to do that. So then I instead of projecting, I communicate it in a healthy way. If that makes sense.
Yeah, total sense, man. It's just perfect. I love the layman's terms. It's always more. There's the technical terms. Oh, projecting is this. By the way, I can't even give you the technical term because, to be honest, technical terms are too complicated for my brain. That's why, like, honestly, that's why I love bringing you guys on, because this movement is about regular guys with a willingness to do irregularly deep inner work. Because in your words, the word projection, that description is perfect. Regular guys will get that because you're speaking regular guy language. Whereas I, in the beginning, when I started studying, like, marriage was going in the shitter. I started reading books voraciously and, like, some beautiful language. Like, I love language, but it's like, oh wow, this is so beautiful, so poetic. Oh wow, this is so amazing. I have no fucking idea how to implement any of this shit. It's astoundingly beautiful language. It has like 27 syllables in every single word. I've no idea what this means. So, man, that's perfect. The guys will get that. You drew a distinction between anger and aggression, and you caught yourself beautifully. Oh, getting angry, and it's like, oh no, it's aggression. Again, not asking you to give my definition or, but support the guys in what you were meaning underneath that difference between anger versus aggression.
Yeah, I mean, I can feel anger, and speak to it or communicate it. So my queen will understand how I'm feeling, set boundaries, or I would raise my voice. I would say things I didn't mean. Not name calling or anything like that. Just go to places that I wouldn't if I wasn't feeling that level of aggression, I suppose. Yeah, so that's. Yeah, so aggression, it's like it's I don't want to say being nasty, 'cause I don't think I've ever been nasty. It's just don't know, just like using your words as a weapon, you know, to make someone hurt 'cause you're hurt, or 'cause make my queen hurt because I'm hurt. I've gone past the point of just being angry. Now I'm feeling aggressive, and I need more than just defense. I need to get on the attack. So yeah, that's how I would get aggressive. Fight back.
Yeah. And it's so like I can relate with that 100,000 times or more. And every guy, I know every single guy, that distinction as so beautifully articulated by you. The metaphors I use, like that, you were holding that aggression. It's on the attack. It's like aggression for me, metaphorically, that's a spear. You like you try to inflict hurt. And I had a Fish Gill on the podcast. He beautifully spoke to it, but it was like we do that because it's seeking to be understood in our pain. It's like there's a deep heart yearning to go, I'm hurting. So it's like there is a heart's intention in it, very unskillful, doesn't excuse it, but there is a part of you, the grumpy part of you, the grumpy part of me, the grumpy part of every guy listening in, all the way to, hey, that asshole part, like the part that just goes, there is an underlying yearning of our nervous system to go, baby, can you just see me in my pain? I don't have the words. Can you feel me? Can you understand me? But we go at it in a way clearly that it's just unskillful and it digs the hole deeper. But anger is that shield. Like you said, it's like a shield. I can speak to it, set my boundary. The shield doesn't inherently hurt. It just says, hey, on this topic, on this point, just, there's the shield. I don't want you to go keep going, trying to go beyond that. I'm a no in this moment anyway. Where has this work forced you to go on your intimate relating? Jack, and I invite you into this conversation. This is actually like the underbelly of all underbellies for guys coming on. It's the real unspoken for so many guys. Where in intimate relating have your blind spots been thus far?
Well, th this has been a massive one in my marriage. I've struggled with the conversations, and with just going there, not just with my queen, but in our circles, relating with other men. It's was first super difficult to open up to about, for the embarrassment, for my own insecurities, all those sorts of things. But where it's made me go, I've had to really, really dig deep, into understanding what my queen wants from me, and not becoming triggered by it, not feeling insecure because I haven't been able to meet her there with her needs. The big thing was just, dealing with my own insecurity, feeling, to give it context, because I don't mind going there with this. It's I feel like it's super important to a lot of men, and it's been super important to me. So, like, we've had issues with sex being, I've got a lower sex drive than my wife, and that was super hard for me to come to terms with, the feeling of the insecurity. I didn't feel like I was a man. And just embarrassment, like, why am I like this? It's should be I should be testosterone, masculine. I should be, this should be my life. I should be ready for this at all the time. So that was
Yeah,
really, really difficult to.
we have such a conditioning, don't we, as men? Definitely in the modern world, with so much porn having been like that's like porn is the thing of the last 10 or 20 years for us modern men, where literally our nervous systems are being trained by professional actors. And of course, the
Yeah.
feminine side has the professional actresses, you know, tanned. But it's like both of them. It's like we're looking on at these guys with number one, massive cocks. Always rock hard. I mean, they're made of granite. Like these fuckers are just made of granite. They could take down a skyscraper by just hitting it with their cocks. Where I'm like going myself personally, I'm like, well, I've been experiencing what they call erectile dysfunction. Like, I mean, I can hit my fucking cock off, I don't know what, and it's just like nothing's gonna go down. So, but there's like rock hard cocks, rock hard abs, bodies, they're tanned, you know, with the lighting on them, infinite
Yeah.
like duration. They have this endurance like a racehorse. It's an impossible cocktail. And yet we train our nervous systems to go, oh, that's the expectation. It's
Yeah.
fucking impossible.
Yeah, completely unrealistic examples of what it is in real life, you know. It's just you can't live up to that expectation. It's yeah, I get what you're saying, and it, you know, ha having this experience really, really rocked me. Because my queen didn't see me as any less of a person. I didn't feel that within myself, and it took a bit for me to really come to terms with that and get deeper into the conversations with her. But, you know, opening up to other men in the heroic husband's men circles, just saying, fuck it, let's go there. You know, this is what we're here for. We're here to get vulnerable, get deep. And honestly, that in itself, just being okay with talking about whatever the fuck you need to talk about. Just if it's bothering you, if it's niggling at you deep down, you're scared to bring that darkness to the surface, that's what helped. It helped me have those deeper conversations with my wife, and also push me to just try different things, you know, because ultimately that was what it was. I had all these other insecurities about, you know, or what if I'm just not going to be able to perform tonight? So I just wouldn't initiate, and you know, I would just internalize this, you know. Yeah, like those unrealistic expectations. Like it's, you know, oh, she's not going to like it, or, you know, all these thoughts in the back of my mind. So I would just avoid it. And probably for the past couple of months, there has been a change for sure. But that's all it's taken. It's like just taking a fucking leap of faith, being like, fuck it, you know? And it's only ever been met with positive, you know, response. It's never been like, oh no, sorry, this is too much. It's, you know, it's a turn on, really. And that was massive. That was really massive for me, because something that I've really struggled to communicate and just come to terms with in myself. And it was such an easy thing to, you know, to change. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the beauty of it though. I know that's the core message I really want every guy listening in. You know, the guys that are in Heroic Husbands Men's Circle, a lot of them speak that. Yeah, there's the self-mastery. You know, I'm 5 years on this year, I'm forgetting exactly how many months.
Nearly a year.
Nearly a year. So it's like but there are these initial victories that are quite simplistic to get things up and going. Then self-mastery. Hey, you know, like in 20 years' time, I still plan to be pushing the boundaries of sexual expression, because it's going to change. Sexual expression at that age, at that level of fitness, where we're at, etc. It's like the whole gameplay keeps continually changing. There's always going to be another level. But I love that core part of you going, you know, you're wrestling down this dragon of sexual shame, and going, hey, it's actually just been simple. You just attack it and go for it, and wow, a few months and it's changing. One bit I totally resonate on a personal level, and I know probably the vast majority of guys listening in will get it in some level. Some of them, it's almost omnipresent, or on others, just in moments. But the performance anxiety, when you said there, it's like, oh, just the thought of it later on, and that you just back off, man, both my hands are going up. That's still an edge for me. That's like literally still a human edge. Again,
Yeah.
guys listening in, if you want a mentor here that's just like a fucking rock hard porn star, it's like, hey, go over to Sterling Cooper. I think he's like a porn star, a retired porn star. You find him on YouTube, he's your man. I've got this human trauma in my nervous system, Jack, where years, like decades of unchecked sexual shame. And that story of I definitely resonate with the difference in sexual appetite, drive. My queen definitely she's had her own sexual shame, but like, when she's in a safe space, she's like, yeah, she has this glorious, beautiful readiness for making love, and like throughout the day, not just in the physical having sex, it's like the whole game of sexual interactions throughout the day outside of the bedroom. She's game for it. That's just her natural set. Myself, I don't know, man. I'll bring this up conversationally because I've yet to decipher this part. I'm interested to hear deeper where you intuitively go with this in your personal story. But Jack, I have yet to decipher within myself, is my sexual drive, is it natural? The nature nurture type dichotomy. I don't know if I'm at a point where, hey, Mark, this is where your sex drive is at. This is who you are. And there might be some truth in that. I've been finding in there's moments when I just get the fuck out of my own way. And I go with bold, I'm just going to sweep you off your fucking feet, woman. I'm going to ravish you. Just fucking kiss me. Like this radical, masculine, direct, raw courage. I mightn't have the confidence of living this for a decade, but I'm just going to fucking go with it. I've had moments, Jack, when I do that, and the more I do that, it's like some primal, sexual, deviant, fucking aspect takes me over, and what comes through me is like, whoa, I'm afterwards going, like my queen is afterwards going, where did that come from? So th this is a long-winded way of saying, Jack, I don't know. Am I prematurely, I feel that it's premature for me to go, hey, that's just where your sex drive is at. I still feel in my nervous system there's a lot more revealing to come beyond sexual shame, that I'm beginning to sort of feel, hey, fuck, just hang on a second, Mark, before you state that's your natural sex drive. Does that make sense for you, Jack? And when you look back in the story of your relationship with sex as a topic as a man, from where you learned about, sex, masturbation, conditioning, stories from your parents, from society growing up. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, well, I, if I'm hearing you correctly, I'm thinking that where I have thought was my, this is where I'm at, my sex drive, Queen's up here, I'm down here. It's a tough time getting that to balance out, and it's on me to make the, make the effort and all that, or otherwise she's got to, she's taken, her needs away to meet mine, and that didn't seem fair. She's got her needs and I'm not fulfilling them, and why wouldn't you want to have more sex and explore more things and do different things in different places and just get, explore and get creative and all that kind of stuff. So I thought I was here, And that was it. It's just this is just me, kind of like how I thought my personality was, like my behaviors, like this is me, babe. You just this is who I am. Deal with it. I didn't realize I needed to.
When we go with the righteous, take it or fucking leave it, you know. In those arguments, like, you're not loving me. If it's not good enough for you, take it or fucking leave it, babe. I've been there like hundreds of times. My last
It's
defense,
like,
make it
yeah, it's
personal.
like, if you know, if you don't, if, you know, this is who I am, take it or leave it for sure. It's like, but you know, I think there's room to grow. I mean, like, if you look at it in all aspects of life, you know, just sexuality, your own personal growth towards self-mastery, it's like, you can, if you're willing to go those places that are uncomfortable because they are uncomfortable to me sexually, you know, trying different things in the bedroom and getting creative, using different things and whatever your kinks or whatever are, that's fine. But that was all uncomfortable for me. So it was like huge to go there. But wow, like what a difference it fucking makes. Like, and it just takes that fucking leap to go there and realize, again, this isn't hard. I'm meeting her needs, superseding those needs. We're having those moments like you were talking about where it's like, holy fuck, you know, I didn't know I had that in me. You know, how are you feeling? I'm feeling great. Like, it's, you know, I feel like there's a lot more to come from me to meet my queen where she truly wants to be. And I love that. But I'm willing to do that. I've got a long way to go, but it's those moments that that's what needs to happen. It needs to, yeah, I need to grow that part of intimacy with her. Yeah.
What comes up for me as a man so often, Jack, is like I look back and I know you can resonate. I think if like football is like a big passion of yours. I believe like growing up, you played a lot, you watch a lot, et cetera, et cetera. So same as myself, but I think most guys can piggyback off that. Maybe it mightn't be sport. A lot of guys will be with sport. You know, if not sport, music, chess, whatever the fuck. Like we have passions growing up that we really dug and we. Normally, most of us, like we had some friends or a big bunch of friends, part of a club where, you know, you speak about it, you train, you talk about it, you think about it. So your nervous system gets trained in, you know, do you get embarrassed talking about football with your mates, Jack?
No, not at
It
all. Yeah.
sounds fucking so ridiculous. I know I want to
Yeah.
bring this reflection up and it can sound ridiculous, like, no, I don't, or, you know, like, whatever. So some other topics like no, I don't. But then there's these clangers of topics because of social shaming, because of growing up. It's like, I don't know about you, Jack, but like my parents, love them both, amazing human beings. I mean, nurtured us 10 out of 10 intentionality. My God, I'm so grateful. And yet, sex, when was that word ever mentioned? When was intimacy? When was it? Were the words masculine, feminine? You're like, fuck. What does that mean? It was never spoken about. Like Ireland, Roman Catholic upbringing, you just did not talk about that. And then maybe, you know, when married, I know myself firsthand. It's when I got married, then you know, some comments could sort of come in with the playful ha ha, you've had kids, so we sort of know, you must be playing around. And but beyond that, formative years, never. So it's like my nervous system never got to experience what it meant to literally say the word sex or any cousin of it ever. In a way that my nervous system could feel, oh, this is safe, this is natural, I'm okay, this is a part of life. And that just created havoc for me. I know myself and my queen, like now we had a decision a few years ago. It's like, okay, well, how are we going to deal with the birds and the bees? Our parents never taught us in a very conscious, direct way. We're like, how are we going to do this with the girls? We homeschooled, so it's all on us. Thankfully. I won't hide. We don't have it. We sort of have it with the modern education system. It's just like, yeah, not supportive for humans thriving. Anyway,
Not at all.
we went with it and we quickly realized it was like, okay, they're now, Anya's 14, Elena's 10. It was an edge in the beginning, but rapidly they started reading, like just on the topic of reading. My queen reads adult, female-oriented fantasy novels. I mean, let's say she described to me, I used to get really triggered by her reading this stuff for years. First 12 years of marriage, I'd be like, it's fucking word porn. It's fucking like, it's nothing, that's just female porn. Just because it's in a book doesn't mean like it's any better. I was like such a fucking grumpy bitch. But our daughters are reading this. And other parents that know the topics and have read them is like sort of like shocked. Like, oh my God, you know, you let your girls read them? Our girls have full vocabulary, man. And you'd want to hear them. I'm like, wow. Almost like there's a grief in me, Jack, going, the amount of suffering I've been through personally because of having no vocabulary, because my nervous system couldn't go there. The amount of suffering, not just for me, the amount of suffering my queen went through, like 12 years of being in the dark with me where, and we somehow carved out a sex life. But by fuck, she had to suffer my ignorance for way too long. And then by extension, the Jack Houghtons, all the different guys in the movement and millions out there. But there's a big grief for me. I'm like, fuck, what was denied me and everybody out there? Do you resonate with that? Like, take me in, like, what were the sexual teachings or messages that you received as a boy growing up? And
Well, I
again,
remember.
just to be clear, you know, it's like this is not having it for guys listening in within the culture of heroic husbands. It's never to blame mommy and daddy. That's bullshit. It's never to blame society. It is what it is. I just want to be clear energetically with your mom and dad and people that were around you. A lot of loving intentionality, man. Just to have some context,
Okay.
not just, I know you're comfortable with that is the context in heroic husbands for guys coming in. No blaming
Yeah.
here.
Yeah, no, like same with my parents. Absolute 10 out of 10 intentionality, loving parents, great. The first thing that comes to mind when I think about, you know, what was the topic of sex like around my parents? I think about, you know, we'd have movie nights back when, you know, everything was on normal TV, ad breaks in between the movies and stuff like that. So that was when we were renting movies, but every now and again,
Back in the
watch a.
day where back in the day where there was a competition, if you had to do a shit during the breaks, you're like, no, like
I'm
two or
getting it
three
done.
people together. You can't just pause this shit, guys. Like you'd be like Navy SEAL type, like effectiveness just getting to the toilet.
Yeah, I remember, you know, occasionally you'd watch a movie and there'd be a sex scene in there, and it was just the most uncomfortable thing being in the room with mom and dad.
Oh
You
man,
know,
it's Nightmare Zone.
you know, it'd be no want to be making eye contact because it'd just be awkward as fuck, and you know, it was that's kind of what it was. You know, I'm a teenager. I knew about this stuff. You know, I was a curious, like young teenager. I'd kissed girls and done stuff and whatever as boys do. But you know, would I ever bring anything up to my parents? Fuck no. Just 'cause like, it would just it was there was an awkwardness that carried those kind of conversations or moments, like sitting down watching a sex scene in a movie or something like that. It was like how, you know, but. I honestly can't remember ever having those conversations with mum and dad. It all came from school, and in school it was just as bad. It really was. It was good that it was all, this is how you do it safely, but that's all it was. There was no like real how to be intimate, how to, you know, it's not just about penetration. There's connection. It's about connection. It's about feeling into that connection, and well, like it was none of that. It was just a physical interaction is what it made it. it is what it was made to feel like, if you know what I mean. So that's what it felt like growing up. It was just, and you know, that's what I was like when I was a young teenage boy. I just wanted to go out there and do it. I didn't care who I did it with. I just wanted to do it, you know, without really knowing what I was doing. So yeah, there was no like real education from my parents anyway about how I would like, and I'm sure how you have with your daughters and how I would do it with my daughter. You know, there'd be some real deep conversations about this isn't just a transaction between two human beings. This is a real deep, intimate moment that means something. And you know, to go there and have that kind of conversation with my daughter would be a fucking honor to have
Yeah.
that experience. There'd be
Oh
I
man.
wouldn't feel awkward about it at all. It would be now, it would feel like an easy conversation. Oh, we got years to go until we have this conversation, but
20 months old, like there's the image. Okay. The daughter going, whatever a 20-month-old WTF expression is.
Yeah. But you know, when that time comes, I feel like it would be maybe not an easy conversation, but it would be a good conversation to have with my kids. 10 years ago, if I'd had a kid, I don't know what that would have been like. I really don't.
I'll say from first-hand experience, I don't know, beginning, but it definitely comes easy with practice. Now we like literally there's words that I don't even know what the levels. I think Apple iTunes has a thing like where I have to tick a box if it's going to be explicit. At our kitchen table, dinner table, breakfast table, the banter and sex, like they're like, oh, you know, I read this scene, you know, oh, that scene where you were saying, you know, the protagonist has, oh, velvet steel. Velvet steel is like the beautiful way of describing the male protagonist's beautiful gift for his queen in the bedroom. It's like so it's like they use an array of words to describe it. We go to full shadow words like cussing, sexual innuendo, everything happens there. It's so beautiful because it's easy. It's literally as easy as speaking about, I don't know what. Like, it's more awkward to talk to him about, hey, you know, like you need to eat your greens. It's like, it's so natural. And the girls respond so well. I love that you were speaking. It's like, it'd be an honor. 'Cause like, that's, I know, like having two daughters, you know, it's like I felt for a number of years, Jack. It's like, you know, this thing of like, oh, well, if you're a man, you want a son. You know, it's like, it's, and I won't hide. There has been part of me, man, especially doing men's work. I'm like, you know, it's like this, there has been that part. But, you know, it has actually dissipated that whole idea in my nervous system since I've started reclaiming the honor, to use your word, the honor of, I get to teach my daughters about masculinity. You know, I'm the teacher of that. My queen can talk to it, of course, to a certain point, the approach from the feminine conscious relating perspective, but it's like, I'm the authority on it. And I've loved that. I bring a lot to the girls where it's like, hey, my queen is speaking, giving her feminine side. I'm like, hey, girls, I believe what you need to know about masculinity is this. Definitely going beyond this bullshit, sort of all men. They sort of joke a lot. I let them go to a certain point, you know, oh, boys are just like this, or my queen said, oh, men are just, you know, these t generalizations. To a point, there is a moment when I step in and go, hey, I just want to be clear here. A lot of humor is cool. Yet, girls, it's essential to know, you know, the boyfriends, so long as your sexual orientation is, you know, remains like that, it seems to be at this point, it's like boys or men, like at their core is a man of exceptional high integrity. And that's to be honored. Like to come alive. I just love being the man, being the dad, playing that role. So I love you saying that honor. Does that hit home for you? I know it's you're still at the anatomical chart in front of your 20-month-old, but does that hit home for you, man, looking forward?
Absolutely. And I can also resonate about the the whole that we're still young enough to we're gonna have at least one more child. And for a while I was like, I really hope it's a boy. Because deep down, I don't know where it's maybe a generational thing and passing on the family name and all that kind of stuff, but none of that really matters. And when we had our daughter, all I gave a fuck about was that she was alive and healthy, and she was my daughter, you know? Gender didn't give a fuck. It was like we created this fucking perfect piece of human being, and that's all, that's enough, you know? That's enough. So, but I still got that, like, oh, if we have another one, it could be a boy, and that'd be awesome. It would be awesome. But I wouldn't care in the end. I could have two daughters and feel the exact same. Just, I've still got that opportunity to raise two awesome fucking human beings and have those conversations with, have the honor of raising these two beautiful girls, if they're both girls, and yeah, just watch them grow. And that would be a fucking, that's an honor for me, for sure.
It's so essential for me at the core of this movement is, guys, there's two aspects energetically. It's been my observation, Jack, that we have been stripped out of our ownership as men, that we are core beings in the family home. The family dynamics is like my perspective is like I deepen is like the family home, that dynamic, that ecosystem does not function if when a man thinks, oh, I don't have a role here. My role is to work. My role is to provide. My role is to do all of those things. The maybe, at home, there's a list of practicalities. The classic, I'll mow the lawn till the kids are, like old enough to push the damn thing or drive the damn thing, et cetera, et cetera. But like, as the communicator, as the educator, as the leader of head, if there's a uncomfortable conversation to have, I'm going to have it. I'm going to lead that on any topic, every topic. Because why? It's my kingdom, queendom, two powerful leaders coming in together. No, like one, old style. Oh, but the feminist movement came and it was like, hey, fuck this, and they did right. Because why? It was predominantly male led. But it's like heroic husbands. There's two leaders there doing this dance. But it's to reclaim how central we are to a thriving family unit, that to have a king there, a heroic husband, fearless father on the job, it's so potent. Talking about the fearless father element, I know you came on the call, we had a powerful call with Dan Peterson. I loved you coming on that because like you were leading with this fresh, well, wasn't 20 months old at that, it was 18 months. But it was like this fresh days. There was this part of me that was like so warmed by that, by your intentionality going, hey, I'm at the start, but Dan, how do I do this correctly, man? You're like, what are the insights? Where has this work brought you in terms of deepening your capacity to be a conscious dad in relating with your beautiful, quite young kid?
Yeah, well, I mean, no one gives you a fucking instruction book on how to do this and do it right at that. So it's like it all of a sudden you're a parent and you're like, fuck, guess we'll figure it out as we go. But and we also take from our own parents how we were raised, and everyone wants to do better than how they were raised themselves. At least I did. And I was raised really well. I was. There's obviously a lot of resentment there and some traumas and shit that happened, but hey, here I am. But I really just I guess a big thing was, when my daughter's so young, she's just starting to communicate, words together and things like that, which is beautiful. But, really in the early days, she'd be crying at stupid times of the night, waking up 4 or 5 times of the night, and I'd wake up grumpy and angry, and I'm like, why am I getting angry at this? She's a baby. Like, she doesn't know anything. Like, emotional regulation isn't a thing. Like, why is this upsetting me? And thankfully, my queen, she's super in tune with this kind of conscious parenting stuff, and we've had some conversations about it, and that's really where we want to head down. We want to be, obviously, everyone wants to be a good parent, but I want to be a parent that, sorry, I want my kids to be aware of their emotions. And for them to be aware of their emotions, I have to be aware of my emotions, which is this work that we're doing is just going hand in hand with self-mastery, relating, and parenting. It's like a trifecta of your entire life improving. So I want my kids, I want to be able to have those conversations with my kids, when they're old enough to think and feel and communicate. I want to be able to have deep conversations with them, get to understand, why they're feeling the way they're feeling. I know when I was a kid, pretty young, I got depressed, and I got angry, real angry, and I never knew why. And I was never able to talk to my parents about why I was angry because I had nothing to be angry about. But there was that feeling there, and I know that if my kids get older and they get those feelings, I want to be able to be there for them, to comfort them, to understand why they're feeling these things. So then they don't grow up to be emotionally unavailable and, behavioral problems or whatever it may cause 20, 30 years down the track. So I just want to be conscious of that. And to do that, I think I need to go there myself. Yeah.
In going there yourself, what are some of the emotional charges that have reared up in your nervous system since meeting this work? Going into edgy shadow conversations in group, one-on-one with your accountability partners. What are the gnarly, unpleasant, unspoken emotions that have been most challenging for you, that definitely in the beginning, to hold space for inside of yourself and acknowledge?
Well, I think one that I still struggle going there with, because I don't really know where it comes from, is just the, I guess to put it into a summary, is just depression in general. I still get really sad sometimes, and I don't really know why. Maybe it's just the weight of the whole world just feels fucking terrible, and it's just all too much. And you just get those days where you're like, fuck this. Don't want to do anything. Don't want to get out of bed. Fuck everyone. Fuck everything. This sucks. But I internalize it, and I'm like, just deal with it. Go about your day. And it passes. It's just the ups and downs of life, I suppose. But I've struggled with it a lot worse in the past. And I never really knew how to deal with it. And when it comes up, I still don't really know how to deal with it. So that's probably the big one. And obviously, like, my own shame around things like sex and stuff like that, that was a big one for me. And yeah.
The
Yeah.
beautiful irony in this, and it always comes up, when you say it's like, when it comes up now, you're with it, it'll come, it'll go, it's there. But then there's the follow-up, but I don't really know what to do with it. And yet, from a trauma-informed perspective, like all the trauma experts in the world, there's super cool technical things that you can do, but foundationally, you're dealing with a perfect. Be with it. It's like literally the simplest thing in the world. That is, as guys, I don't know about you, Jack. I'm like, I want to go in there. Give me the A, B, fucking C. What do I do first? What do we do next? And how do I kill the fucker? Just as like where how we deal with it is we sit with it. And it's like, okay, there's sadness there. I'll share with you, man. It's really appreciate you going there. It's like really underbelly stuff. And every guy, hey, on behalf of every guy, so much appreciation and love for you going this deep. I remember going into men's work for my first couple of years. I don't know how long I was in. I probably was in deep men's work about a year, if my memory serves me correctly. Doing emotional work and sitting with my body and noticing physical stress, emotions underneath it. I remember specifically coming to this period where my queen turned to me. She's like, it's been so beautiful to hear you check in and recognize the sadness over the last week. And it startled me. I was like, God, what is it particular? I had been in practice, owning and expressing my emotions for over a year or whatever. And she was like, Mark, it's 13 years I know you. You've never once told me that you felt sad. I literally, like, the tears come up in my nervousness behind my eyes, literally, when I say that, because I totally get you on that sadness, that depression, that, and like when you say the words, maybe it's just the way that the whole world, like, I totally get that in a way that I can't express to you how much I get that. I've had moments, man, where it's been my practice for 3 or 4 years now where I lie down in the afternoon, 99% of all afternoons, 10, 12 minute nap, helps me knock it out of the park for the rest of the day. Brilliant high leverage practice to keep the energy for the second half of the day. However, there's been periods where, man, when the alarm goes off, there's a sadness. And there's a sadness that's there where I don't want to get out from underneath that blanket. There's a sadness, and there's like a there's a vulnerability and a fragileness in me that it's like, and I actually link it back. I remember, I didn't realize at the time, but looking back, Jack, when I was growing up, when I was upset and nobody to hold space for it, I didn't even know, hey, you're dealing with emotion, you're trying to emotionally regulate. But what I used to do, man, I used to go down to my bed and I curl up, big heavy duvet, really cozy, and I curl up in fetal position. And I just stay there and I'd nod off to sleep. And when I'd wake up, I'd be fine. And it's sadness. It's the sadness of fucking this profoundly sick society. For me, they're the terms I speak to it in the podcast. It's like, man, it's the sadness of, 12 years of hurting my queen unwittingly. It's the sadness of fucking this entire society. Like the education system talks for 1 minute about sexual relating, talk about, human psychology, about, how to be thriving, healthy, full of life. I'm like, that's fucking sad for me. That's like unbelievably sad. It's unbelievably sad that Jack and myself, that there is even this movement, that there's a need for this podcast. That's sad for me, man. That's fucking like a tragedy that we're trying to, and we will, like, celebration. 1 year in, we're going to get to 1 million, like 100,000 Heroic Husbands men circles. Guys listening in, we're fucking like, this snowball is like, I can see Jack's eyes lighting up. He's on fucking fire.
We'll
We're
get there.
all in fire, on fire in this movement. But it's like, it's so that there's that sadness there. I see you nodding, Jack. Just like, what words do you have for your human sadness, just in like individual life, personal sadness, your story, but fuck me, there's the human story.
I mean, there's a lot of personal sadness that comes from, well, not knowing where it comes from, and like you said, not having that space as a child to understand it, be comforted about it. Like I used to do the same thing. I'd crawl into my bed and I would scream. I'd hold my pillow so tight to my face and scream and cry and fall asleep, and I'd wake up and I'd feel better. But and it's kind of the same thing now. When I get those down days, it's like, just this is how I'm feeling. Keep doing what I'm doing. If it's going to work, do that. Do it to the best of my ability, or if I'm going out with my family, just try and be present. Try and make the best of a bad situation right now. I'm not feeling great, but let's do it for my wife and daughter. Doesn't always happen, but I try, and it helps. But you know what? You go to bed, I go to bed, and I wake up and I feel good. You know, so it's just this wave that passes. But yeah, it is a really sad thing that this is a big part of life, you know, especially in men. Depression's huge, and we unfortunately aren't used to this kind of relating as men, and that fucking sucks. 'Cause imagine if this was normal conversation between all guys and their friends. We wouldn't have problems. We would have ways of dealing with the shit that's going on instead of internalizing all the bad stuff. And it comes out in aggression. It comes out in depression. It comes out in mental health, you know? So.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm feeling on fire here in this topic. Fuck, this is like raw. I'll speak it in now because it is like you're right. There's depression, clinical depression already diagnosed, but there's depression that is unrecognized. Like so many guys I know myself, it's like work addiction. You know, caffeine addiction, porn addiction, put in all the addictions where we sedate this feeling, and like underneath is like functional depression. One of the other guys in the movement said, it's like, Mark, I did a specific episode on depression. And he was like, wow, I listened to that. I realized my queen and myself for the last decade or decade and a half, we've been functionally depressed. It's just you gave words to it. I could go, yeah, that profound sadness has been there. And there's a lot of guys. At the core of it, I love, there's, I think his name, I quote him well, Jeff Foster. This guy from his own depression experienced what is his spiritual awakening as a human being. And he came out, I love it. I really love it. Changed my entire approach, Jack, on my own sadness and depression, and then that of my queens, where he was like, hey, depressed phonetically breaks down as deep rest. It's like depression as characterized by this profound lack of energy. You know, that sadness, that depression is like there's no energy. You just feel like you just lie in bed. It's like that's perfectly natural. That's your nervous system intuitively, like sort of like going, I'm not going to give you any more energy for this persona that is leading your life, pretending it is who you are. It's like I'm just sort of going to call time here and go, you got to rest, dude. You got to go into a deep rest. The hero's journey. You've got to stop in your tracks for, man, a day would be nice. Couple of weeks, you know, just reflect. And it's like when your true self comes true, hey, funnily enough, the energy is going to come back online. And I was like, man, that just rocked me to my core. I'm like, sadness is not something that I'm doing wrong. depression in me or my queen or any human on the planet. It's not wrong. It's not a disease. Like pharmaceutical, big pharma can go, yeah, you make something a disease and you can sell fucking billions. Like, hey, it's fucking simple. Well done. You know, well done. I'm an entrepreneur. Well done. You create a product, you create the need, you condition people en masse. Cool. Well done. We're coming to take down the whole system. Heroic husbands, men circles, one guy at a time, one family, one fortress, then communities. It's like this is a different product. But like this product, Heroic Husbands, Men Circles, man. Can you speak to that? Because I know when I mentioned like the we just celebrated for guys listening in, we just celebrated one year of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles being live. There's now 33, there's 35 guys formally signed up for it. Five of them are to join. I see Jack, your head is nodding. Man, we were on fire. I did a 2.5 minute video presentation for the guys in the group. In the groups that was played in all the online groups there last week. And man, every man was on fire. Like guys were teared up. What does that mean to you, Jack, being a part of this movement, knowing that like widespread depression, widespread sadness unchecked, widespread disconnection that is completely unnecessary, guys not feeling on fire and their queens and families just suffering as a result. What does it mean to you? This movement that, hey, there's a different way. And for guys listening in, like what does that movement mean for you and the spread of it?
Yeah, I mean, when I first joined, I had a lot of trouble really going there. I think I did it at times, but I held a lot back. But I grew with the movement, and I was able to really dig deep and communicate with these guys that are all my brothers now. We communicate all the time. We're a big fucking family, man. Like, I've spoken to these guys who live literally the other side of the fucking planet about some shit that I've never told anyone. Maybe my queen, that's about it. Like, we've fucking gone places that it's super irregular to do as dudes. And watching us all grow, become super comfortable with each other in our presence, being present with each other. It's hard to even think of a word to describe the feeling you get in those moments when we sit together. One of us will share something, we all resonate with it, we get emotional, we have our own breakthroughs. It's and the feeling that you get when at the end of end of a meeting, and you're like, fuck, it's the end. We just want this to keep going, but time is important. But it's just I'm struggling to think of a word good enough to describe how it makes me truly feel, because there's nothing else like it experience-wise as a man. Communicating with other men about the sorts of things we do and how it benefits our lives in all aspects, relationship, regular relating with other men, our kids, and our own inner world. This is stuff that's it's not normal, but we've come to accept it as a normal thing for us. And it's true. It's beautiful. It really is. It's such a wonderful experience, week in, week out. A true, true pleasure to be a part of.
Oh man, your words, it's music. It's music for my ears, my heart, my soul. Jack, I want to share with you. I had a funny experience. Don Miller from Storybrand. That's the business perspective. Don is badass, by the way. It's like I'll put a shout out. I'm not an affiliate with his company, but guys, any of you entrepreneurs out there, Don Miller, storybrand.com or Business Made Simple, like this movement. The name of the movement, Be the Husband She Brags About, Heroic Husbands, etc., etc. It's all story brand. But I jumped in a call with Don. I'm paying his flight school. It's like a high level entrepreneurial sort of mastermind. I got in a call with Don, with the others, and on my first call with Don, he called me on and he coached me for 15 minutes. Fucking loved it. But do you know how he supported me the most, Jack? And Don doesn't notice, but I told him, I was like, hey, Don, the vision is like, this is where we're at now. We're just after the 1 year anniversary, 33 guys, now 35, like they're on fire, teared up, fucking go. So, Don, the 10-year vision is to get 100,000 circles around the globe happening. First of all, I didn't clarify, but he thought it was 100,000 men. I'm like, it's a million guys. This is like a million guys. It's 100,000 Heroic Husbands men circles. That is happening. Do you know how he supported me, man? He was like, in the midst of his answer was real eloquent. I love the guy, but he was like, you know, Mark, you know, it's like 10 years. I don't know. You know, it's like maybe you'll get to like 5,000 in 10 years. You set the systems up, you'll be at 5,000, you know, 6,000 guys at 10 years. And then the snowball, you know, like maybe 10 years after that, could be 20 years by the time you get to that number. I'm the youngest of three brothers. My nervous system takes it fucking personal, man, when any man that's older than me goes, I don't think you're going to do it. Michael Jordan was the exact same. His shadow is he's a younger brother. So it's like anybody tells him he can't do anything. Well, we all know what Michael Jordan did. Guys are listening in, Jack. They're not on the inside yet. They were not present for the fire that happens every week. But last week, the birthday celebrations and guys going, yeah, we're going to do that. And in that video, you know, I called it out. It's like the acorn today, 33 guys at that time, you know, that's the acorn for the oak tree tomorrow of 100,000 Heroic Husbands men's circles. That's 1 million guys and better husbands today, better world tomorrow. We're transforming the world. The guys that are listening in that are like, okay, they haven't been a part of it, but they're on the fence. They're like, fuck, sounds cool, man. I want to be a part of it. My 5-year-old inner child is sort of going, cool, this could be cool, but they're on the fence. What words of wisdom would you have for those guys if they're sitting across the table in a cafe, drinking a cup of coffee, going, Jack, yeah, it's amazing what you've went through, but I don't know, man. I don't know, is it for me? What would you say to that guy?
If you're worried about feeling uncomfortable, we all felt uncomfortable. And now we feel fucking amazing. It's just getting past that initial thought in your brain that wants to hold you back from something that's going to benefit you so fucking much in your life. It's hard, but if you really think that this is what you need, because you're having troubles in your marriage, you're feeling a lack of something within yourself, you don't know quite know what it is, you want to, I don't know. If you feel that something is there, you've just got to push past that initial uncomfortability, like, oh, I don't know about getting on a call with random guys from around the globe. Like, we all did that, and now we all are like a fucking big family. That we're all the same. We're all the same dudes with similar problems in different parts of the world, sharing our stories, getting to know each other, and getting to know ourselves. It's worth it.
Boom. That's like perfect, man. I just want to say, for full transparency, with the guys, I do not send on a copyrighted written piece for the guys to say. I just love that the words, man, and it's so real, it's raw, it's like, and I get it, guys. The gauntlet has been set down there by Jack to you, Jack, brother. This has been so much fun for me, man. So much fun
Same.
and like an emotional roller coaster because you went there.
Yeah.
You so went there. High honoring to you, man, and by extension to your beautiful queen. And this is, I hope, in most episodes, I honor the queens behind us, because it's like, I don't actually like the whole all behind every great man, there's an even better woman. I actually don't like that. I've said it to my queen. It's like, hey, behind every conscious king, there's a fucking badass queen. But enough of playing this like better. What it's like,
Yeah,
it's
tip
like,
for tat, yeah.
but it's like, you're a conscious king, man. It's astounding what you're doing, but clearly you've got a badass queen that is like supporting you and challenge you to higher levels. High honoring
Yeah.
to you both, man. It's beautiful what you're creating. Thanks for coming on,
Yeah.
Jack.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Beautiful kings around the globe. You've heard it from Jack. You've heard it from me. You've heard that this is like number 10 of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, the marriage transformation heroes coming in. This is Jack and is coming in a long list, and there's more and more of them to come. Regular guys with a willingness to do a regularly deep inner work in a safe space and get the accountability and the support to come into full flame confidence and courage in every element of your life, communication, deep intimacy, parenting, inner world realization, just self-mastery on all levels, like it's an infinite game. Why would you deny yourself, your queen, your kids, and the next 7 generations that amazing gift? Lone wolfing does not work. My direct masculine challenge to you is in the podcast description today. If 1% of you is feeling the flame of inspiration, nay, all the way to 90, 100% of you is feeling the inspiration, get in the podcast description. It takes 20 to 30 seconds of kingly courage. Book your application call. Get in now. There's a new intake happening in the next 2 weeks. You need to get that call in now. And man, it will be the most life-transforming call of your entire life. We back this shit up. We are a results-based movement. Jack is the perfect embodiment of such results. In perfect alignment with the mantra for movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful, kingly day.